Matthew chapter 3. As we've been looking at the Word of God, we've been seeing what God's got to say about things. We want to look today at a passage here in Matthew chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'm not a holiday preacher. I just have never got into that. Amen. I try to sometimes. By Christmas, I want to preach a Christmas message, and I try. Somehow I don't, but it happens like that. I've got a great Father's Day message, but y'all would hate it. It's a thing where Jesus says, "Ye are of your father the devil." And,
Whoops.
It works, I mean, for me, anyway. I don't know. It's a Father's Day message, it's, you know. But Matthew chapter 3, you want to look at verse 7. The Bible says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." As we look at this passage, I'm reminded in Acts chapter 20 that Jesus Christ says about the church that he purchased it with his own blood. So the thing's been bought already. But he said in several passages of scriptures, "I will build my church." In Matthew chapter 16, we see Peter say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And depending on who you are, you read that and say, well, there's the first pope. It's the funniest pope of all of them because he's got a mother-in-law. You know, those guys are required to be celibate. I find out they cheat, though. True story. Secondly, about that statement, not even 10 verses later, he calls him Satan. Not a very good pope, I say. I mean, you're blessed art thou, Son of Jonah. 10 verses later, you're Satan. That quick. Same conversation. And what he said that about was the fact he said that nobody's going to kill you, Lord. I won't let them. And it says, likewise said they all. Who was the first ones to run when the guard showed up?
Amen.
And likewise did they all.
Amen.
So what would you done if you'd been there? I'd been with them.
Yeah.
They're killing one guy. One guy's got his head almost chopped off, but they missed and got his ear. I'm out of here, buddy. All the police are here. If they can't catch me, I'm gone. I'm thinking like a disciple, a Jew in that day that hadn't realized he's Jesus yet, who Jesus really is. Because none of them, they all thought that they could stop the crucifixion. But he said that was necessary to pay for men's souls and to build his church.
Amen.
There's another thing about building his church that people don't really realize, and that's the fact that in Matthew, the things placed out there, and it's birthed in Acts chapter 2, and people fight about that all the time. But they don't understand what birth and conception means.
Yeah.
Conception is the start of life. Birth's when you get your first breath into the new world.
Yeah.
I like what one brother says, "I discovered America in 1969, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Amen.
And you look at this thing today, and we look at this passage of Scripture, and every material before he ever announces his church, all the materials are right here in these verses right here that he's going to build his church with. Before this building was ever built, they got a materials list together based off a blueprint before they ever started. I know that your pastor knows this, but he said it and you didn't hear him, so I'm going to say it, and you're going to think it's the first time you've heard it. And you're going to say, man, I didn't know that. We need to do that. So I'm going to give you the materials today, and the message today is the church that God builds.
Amen.
The church God builds. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord God, for letting us be here and be alive. And we pray, God, that you'll move amongst us today and stir our hearts for the great things of God. We pray today, Heavenly Father, for Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that your Holy Spirit will teach us what's in this book. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll move and do such a work today in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray you'd help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look for these materials today, I'm reminded of this. Thank God they're already paid for. We go to buy a house, you know what we look at? 30 years. It's either a mortgage or a prison sentence. I ain't figured out which one it is. It's one or the other.
Amen.
I was told here a while back, I went to Great Lengths, and we bought our own home in 2005. And the strangest thing, I thought it was mine until I got that first tax bill, and I found out if I don't pay that, then it'll be theirs.
Amen.
Whether or not I make the payments or not.
Amen.
I thought that was rather strange that ahead of time, you know, it's my house. A month later, it's mine and theirs house, and mine and the bank's house, and we all three own my house. And then I found this out, brother. This is what really made me mad here. When that thing's paid off, yep. Me and the city and the county are still, it's our house.
Exactly. Yep.
And I thought, man, this is just crazy. But I didn't find out one good thing. I don't know if y'all have this here. We have it at home. You don't have it at your place, but we got it ours. We have trash pickup. But they're picking up the wrong thing. Them guys need to go be policemen, and the policemen need to be them guys, because they seem to know where them guys are at, because they see that stuff in their trash can every week. They ought to tell on those guys.
Yeah.
They say, Mr. Policeman, down here and right. But you know why they don't? They're afraid of those guys.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Lock them up. You put them in front of a judge enough times that he'll keep them.
Amen.
You just keep on. I'm for them guys getting in jail, because I know in jail they'll get sober and they'll meet him. They meet him, he'll tell them about the Lord. They have the opportunity to get saved.
Amen.
As it stands right now, they're smoking crack on the street, not caring about nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
Now, when we come to the passage here, I want to get that off my chest. That's as mean as I'm going to get. Well, I lie. I'm probably get meaner. But as we look at this today, in these verses, he's going to lay out all the materials that he's going to use to build a church. Number one is preaching, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, thank you, Associational Director, for coming. We're glad to have you here today. Why don't you come lead us in open prayer, open us in prayer here on the platform. That's the way most Baptists do it today. And there's nothing wrong with being nice to people. But go back to verse 1. I want to show you something. In those days came John the...
Amen.
First occurrence of the word Baptist is Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. And next word? First occurrence of the word preaching. Notice how they both arrived together. If you ever wonder why they made these Baptist churches, it wasn't for John, it was for preaching.
Amen.
You know what Baptists are known for? Well, what we used to be known for is preaching. We were people of the book.
Yep.
And we preach the word of God without fear, favor, or compromise.
Right.
And then the payment for the megachurch we built come in and we had to back off.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say, well, if you would just back off on certain things, you would have a bigger church. What if I don't want to back off and I don't want to have what God don't want me to have, and I have to compromise things of the Bible to have people in that maybe or maybe not are saved, don't know, but you can't really tell either.
Amen.
I think that what we've got to have is the right materials, because Baptists and preaching go together. There's never a time that we're going to see in my lifetime churches going back to the old days unless God turns the thing around.
Amen.
If he ever decides to turn it around, I'll be glad to see it. But I think I see he's fixing to turn them up, not turn them around.
Amen.
I think if I read correctly, our last thing we was waiting on before the rapture happened in 1948.
Amen.
Israel became a nation again.
Yep.
The vagabond Jew that wandered all those years started coming home.
Right. Yep.
And the biggest Jew hater in the world announced over the radio that they'd give them that land back. That was Winnie the Pooh. That's where they got that character from, was that English Prime Minister. Winston Churchill. He was known as Winnie the Pooh. That's what they called him behind his back, and then they made the Winnie the Pooh character after him. Did y'all not know that for real?
No.
Okay. I like when I say something nobody knew it but me. That's cool. But listen to this. God builds churches on preaching. What is said to the legalists, he tells them, O generation of vipers. You know what a viper is? That's a cold-hearted animal and cold-blooded animal that's there to kill and consume.
Amen.
They're a predator. And don't come up to me after service and tell me there's such thing as a good snake. I already don't believe you. When you're going to have a certain color snake, he does. I don't care what he does. If I see him, he's dead.
That's a good snake,
doesn't it? There you go. If he's not a belt or a boots, he's a bad snake. Amen. I had a situation arise at our house. My wife was outside one night cutting the dog, shaving. I think it was Muffin she had out there. And inside, the cat and the dog both were out looking mad out the door. And I thought, are y'all wanting to go next? Y'all never like this. And I heard, Greg! And I went and looked. There he was. I bet that sucker was 10 feet long, looked like.
Yeah.
I taught him a lesson. It's a lesson I learned years ago. We had a swimming pool when I was growing up. I don't ever want one again. That's way too much work and money for something you don't do often enough. But I learned to have a hoe in this hand and a hose pipe with a spray nozzle with a little hook on it. I could pull him out that filter, flip him up, and get the first lick in before he got to the ground. It took, 3 years of doing it every day, I got good at it. I saw him squirming out there. I thought, you done squirmed down the wrong place. Went out there and busted his head off for him. Amen.
Amen.
And threw him across the road. And my wife said something. She said, you know what we should have done? Now, she's my partner in crime. When it comes to comedy, she's the funny one. I'm the straight guy. I'm the Dean Martin of her Jerry Lewis. She said, we should have tied a fishing line to him and waited until somebody's coming up the road, just pull him right out there on the sidewalk. And I said, you know, we should have done that. But I'm the guy that makes it happen, so I never veto things like that. I just may not be wanting to stay up all night and do it, but I like it. I like the spirit of it. But he tells that legalist, a generation of vipers.
Amen.
A generation of vipers. When you deal with a legalist in preaching, preach this Bible to them.
Amen.
God wants them either preached to the altar or preached out the door.
Yeah. Amen.
When I have them show up at the house and they got all the church house and they got all these standards about them and this, that, and other, and they never mention our Lord's name when they're talking about it.
Yeah.
You've met them. They come in all flavors and sizes. And what they do is they try to kill a church because they're of their father, the devil, just like this bunch that showed up with John.
Amen.
You know why they showed up down there with John? He was baptizing more than them. They wanted to see what he's doing.
Yep.
You go to baptize a bunch of converts, you get a bunch of strange visitors your way. One of them will be the legalist.
Amen.
They'll come so they can leave and say, well, I knew they didn't have no standards. That's why they got so many people. True story.
Yes, amen.
And what's strange is that they'll tell that you're a liberal, but they'll never tell what they are.
Yeah.
And you're not a liberal. They're just trying to slander you so they can justify all that garbage they've been preaching that's not in the book.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. I have heard this about our church. So I started wandering around the church when service started, when I saw late people coming in, just so I could hear what the guy at the back door said to them. Because here's what I heard. I heard that we had a guy at the back door that when you come in, he checks you for a King James Bible, and if you don't have one, you get sent back out. They said that where I pastor. I've been there. If I lived July 12th, I'd be there 26 years. I don't ever remember us voting on that rule.
Amen.
I don't ever remember telling the guy at the back door to check them and send them out if they don't have one. I don't ever remember, if I you're here. You've been there 20 years. I've been there 26. I don't ever remember that being said. So I went back there and listened, and the guy didn't say anything like that. Hello, how are you? God bless you. Good to see you. You know.
Amen.
Who said that about us? Legalists did.
Amen.
What they said. You know what they're really mad at? It wasn't a King James Bible that's mad at it. Somebody telling them it was the Word of God and don't need to be tampered with. That's what they got mad about. So they created a straw man to preach against like all legalists do. And it don't work. Your people begin to hate a guy that's not real. But eventually they run into you and find out you're not like that. Now who are they going to hate? Here's what he said to the liberals. In that same verse, he says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? All liberals have one thing in common. They do not believe God's book, and they don't care which version it is.
Yeah.
You look into that book right there, and he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's letting the Sadducees know, you may not believe in the rapture of the church, that God's going to pour out his wrath here for 7 years and deal with that Jew again, but God's going to do that. If they'd have hung around for Sunday school and preaching that day, they might have learned about the rapture. They may have learned about the millennial reign. They may have learned about the very end times thing that's going to happen that people think is going to happen now, but it's 1,007 years off if we were raptured today. And that's that battle at the end and so forth like that. But I'll give you a hint. You don't need to be worried about that. You need to be worried about today while the light's up. Because today is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not rejoicing just for a coming day. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. That's an incomplete message. We need to have our attention centered on today. And when Sadducees come in and they try to tell you, now you know the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but I still believe the Bible.
Right.
I've understood the material of preaching is what's said to the legalist and what's said to the liberal, because sometimes you got to preach them right back out that door. Because if they're not going to get saved, they're not going to do right, they're going to be a problem the whole time they're here. I've went through people that come in talking about their preacher and leave talking about me. So I learned how you fix it. You tell them if they're leaving a bad church, I understand, but I'm going to talk to the pastor. And if they're leaving a good church, tell them I understand and still talk to the pastor.
Right.
If they didn't leave right, they're not coming right, and they won't stay right, and they won't get right. It'll just be another knot in the log, man.
That's right.
And what I'd like to do is get back to the fact when we preach this crowd and quit calling them fluffy names and start calling them generation of vipers and who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. That kind of preaching is what builds a church.
Amen.
I told your pastor a story about Dr. Howes last night. I was listening to this the other day, and I thought, man, when I tell this story, there's going to be part of you that's going to say, that's so mean. But there's a part of you going to say, amen. You ready? He's preaching on a Sunday morning. A little girl sitting where Brother Jamie is and goes, and starts cutting up over making noise. Now, they got 4,000 people or 10,000, whatever they run back then. And he calls her down from the pulpit while he's preaching.
Amen.
And said, you better stick that tongue back in your mouth. He said, if you stick your tongue out of him on a Sunday morning, that's suicide. He said, I'm going to tell you what, little girl. He said, you better stick that thing back in your mouth before I get a deacon to remove it and you.
Amen.
He finishes his message, goes on. After the service, here comes mom and dad. Well, how dare you? Well, who are you? Well, I'm the parent of the little girl that you embarrassed in front of everybody today. And you know what he said to him? So? And they said, well, you ain't going to do nothing about it. He said, I already did.
Amen.
And they said, well, don't you think you owe her an apology? He said, let me tell you something. He said, what you need to do is take that child home and give her a spanking for acting like that in the house of God and causing an embarrassment like that and disrupting a Sunday morning service. He said, but the reason she done that is because she's already not getting spanking, so you're already behind the eight ball.
Come on. Amen.
He had deacons tell him, you shouldn't say that. That's just mean. See, there's a part of you said, that's mean, man. You really shouldn't have said that. And a part of you said, amen.
Yeah.
Well, amen.
For those of you that think that's mean, 1 week later, both mom and dad and child come back, and little mom and dad come down and got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
They said, that's the first time we've had anybody tell us we're wrong and no. And it got us to thinking.
How about that?
So they come back and see if he'd tell them no again. He did. And then they come down there and got saved. And he made an announcement that day too. The next Sunday he got up and said, all you people that come up and said I was mean, I hadn't heard an apology from you.
Amen.
How about that? We need to get back to preaching.
Amen.
Dramas, skits, choir specials are all fine, but have preaching with them. It still works. Paul started churches preaching, not by wasting time with, we got to get some flowers and we got to get this and we got to get an anthem for our church and a slogan. He never started. Paul never had that. And I think all them things come after you start the church, not to start it with. Notice this second one in verse 8. We got preaching is one material. Here's the second material, and that material is proof. And the proof starts in two things, a changed life and a changed lineage. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for that R word that nobody likes.
Amen. True.
It's called repentance, and it's part of the gospel.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said, well, Brother Such and Such, I don't care what Brother Such and Such said. I see John the Baptist said this. And I also went around, I've watched Jesus talk about repentance, and in Luke 24, part of the Great Commission's repentance, Luke 24, verse 47, and following down through there, I see it show up in the preaching of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So just hold it to yourself if you don't believe there's repentance in the gospel. Check it out in the book first. You go look at repent, repenting, repented, and repentance in the Bible, you're going to find out that's part of the message.
Amen.
See, these people that don't believe in repentance, these internet goofballs, let me tell you what they do. This is the problem they have. They don't preach repentance, and they say, all you got to do is confess Jesus to be saved. Then if you go here and preach, you think they're mean as a devil because all they do is fuss at their people. Why? They've not stopped sinning yet.
Amen.
And they can't get them to quit.
Yeah. Amen.
They don't know what to do. Even these contemporary outfits.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with these people. They can't get them to quit sin. How are we going to get them to stop? They'll get conferences. We need to disciple people more. Well, if you start them out right, you probably won't have as many problems as you do if you start them out wrong. I don't know how they do this, but my grandpa was telling me this when I was a little kid. There's something you can do to a watermelon to make it seedless, but you do that while it's growing. That's a certain trick you do. I forgot what it was, but now I can buy them down at this guy in the corner down here that stole a bunch out of your thing down there, and he's going to sell them for a dollar, so I don't worry about how you make them. I just eat them. But that thing right there is something that you can look at this. Without repentance, they're not even converted, so no wonder you're having such a problem with these people.
Right.
They don't know what to do with their selves because nobody's told them how to do right, and if they don't know how to do right, they already know how to do wrong, and they're going to keep doing it.
Amen.
Notice this, that bring forth fruits meet for repentance. The proof is two things. One, it's a changed life. People that get saved, they'll stop doing things that they normally done to start doing the things God's leading them to.
Yeah.
I remember somebody telling me, they said, well, if I come down there, the walls will fall in, the ceiling will fall in. I said, well, if I went in, it didn't, I'm sure you'll be fine. They said, how do you know? I said, because that's far worse than you was. I said, God didn't kill me for walking in his church. He probably won't kill you either.
Amen.
I said, it'd be a sad thing that on time you'd come be your own funeral. Get in. Get all the way in. If you say, get in.
Amen.
Get in, plug in, and stay in.
Amen.
I have a lamp in my house that I use every day. But if it ain't plugged in, it's no use to me.
Right.
One of the materials God uses is that proof, and that proof is a changed life, and the other part of it is verse 9, is a changed lineage. Look at this. And think not to say within yourselves, well, Grandma was saved, so surely I am.
No.
I'm giving the Gentile version, that's the Jewish version there.
Amen.
He said, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham, it says, to our father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So they were banking on the fact that they were Jewish born, that got them in. Do you know what didn't get them in? Being Jewish born. See, Jesus didn't say it's how you were born you go to heaven. He said you must be born again.
Amen.
So whether you're born Jew or Gentile, you got to be born again.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you something to help you with your witnessing. When these sodomites lie and say, I was born this way, they were not.
Right.
They were either molested as a child or recruited as a teenager.
That's right.
One of the two. And listen to this. If they say they're born that way, let them say it. Tell them, then you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Go right around the mouth and then get right to the problem. You must be born again.
Right.
I've never seen one that got born again that didn't say, I wasn't born that way.
Right. Amen.
Ain't that a thing?
Yeah.
But see, we got so many sissy men now that they can't do nothing with these guys now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think we need to go back to wood heaters or something. Have the guys go chop wood again or something to toughen them up a little bit.
Yeah.
My back couldn't take it, but you know, I got a kid.
Yeah.
Just saying. You're gonna stay here, you're gonna work, see? That's how it works at the house. I'm just kidding. Listen. That changed lineage is this. There was people I've met in my life, and you met them. They're preacher kids, and they think they're saved because Daddy and Mama saved.
Yeah.
There was an old man I worked for told me this truth in 1994. He said, God has no grandchildren.
Right.
He gave a devotion to that one day. This kid named Matthew would work there. Guess who he is named after?
Right.
This guy. And when you asked him, are you saved? He'd say this, my parents are missionaries.
Yeah.
And he'd then say, I'm grandfathered in. And he was saying that, and this old man heard him walk up and said, God has no grandchildren, son.
Right.
He said, I don't care what your lineage is, you're not in because somebody else is in.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You're not getting in under the watch care role of the church because your parents were, your grandparents were. You must be born again.
Yeah.
And he said this, he said, you're just saying that King James stuff. He said, no, I'm telling you the very words of God, so you'll listen to me, and those words will cut you going in and coming out, because what you need to hear is the truth, and the truth is you must be born again.
Amen.
There's people right now that live under the illusion that as long as grandma's alive and praying, you'll slide by the skin of your teeth in life. I got news for you. Grandma's going to die. Where are you going to be then?
Right.
When Brother Carter died, I had a guy call me and said, you going to pray for me now like he did? I said, I'm praying God to smite you hip and thigh now. I'm going to keep doing that, okay?
Yeah.
Do you not pray yourself? Do you not have a God that loves you? Do you not have His very words to you and the Holy Spirit of God that comforts you? If God takes somebody out of your life like that, He's intending on you to grow up.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
But see, a lot of times God takes somebody like that away. Now the phonies, you see all of them. They were hiding back there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what we need is, we need proof on people. That's what we build a church on. Do you know what people see when they see a businessman come to the church? It's a rich businessman. They see the next thing when he walks in the door.
Yeah.
You know what the last thing you should do to people like that is acknowledge them.
Amen. Yeah.
You know why? Because if you put them on the level of the platform, they'll never make it to the altar.
Yeah.
Amen.
There have been people that have walked in churches in town, and these people have told me this, and they've been acknowledged by the pastors. We welcome our millionaire friends today. If I knew it, I wouldn't tell nobody.
Amen.
No wonder people don't come to churches rich. They're expected paid for everything when they get there. There's a man on the store up there from our church, and he told me one time, he said, I can't go to a church in this town without somebody saying something about, can you buy something? I said, that's sad.
Amen.
Sad. Why ask them to buy it when you got a father who owns the cows on the hill and the heels and the taters in them? Why would you worry about asking a businessman for stuff when it's already there?
Right.
I mean, why not just go to the Lord and go to the people of the church and say, we need to pray about this and do that? God still can.
Amen.
And here's the good part. He still will.
Right.
You got to change lineage. You know, somebody told me one day, they said that, well, that preacher was led to the Lord by this guy, was led to the Lord by this guy, and Billy Sunday led that guy to the Lord. Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
He didn't led me to the Lord. Listen to this. A Southern Baptist preacher. Pastor.
Yeah.
You who led him to the Lord? Tell him. Ain't that something? We're vagabond Jews, us. We all travel around, you know. But here's the truth of the matter. We got saved the same way everybody else did.
Right.
There's a guy, listen, the next big thing. He asked me, he said, where'd you get saved at? I said, in Greenville, South Carolina. And I told him, he said, well, you may not even be saved. You got saved in the church. That's God's birthing station.
Wow.
I said, it is, man. I got to read the Bible. I thought, was he right? And I ran into something, a daily Bible reading that day that totally killed it. Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is not in the church when it happens.
Right.
And the church was already here when he got saved.
Right.
I thought, I'd rather be in his company than that guy's company.
Right.
Yeah. I saw that there's a church, the epistle to the church of the Philippians. I found out where that thing started. Out by the seaside out there when Paul saw some people praying. And led one woman to the Lord. How about that? I've seen a great revival in Samaria with Philip in Acts chapter 8. And then one day I read John chapter 4 and found out it was the old woman that's married five times and shacking up that Jesus won that started all that. Because she went back and told everybody what he did for her. The lineage is not you. You know, the lineage is Jesus, then you.
Right.
That's it. When I mentioned the other night that our command structure of the church looks like this, it kills people.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Holy Father over here? Isn't he the head guy?
Yeah.
No, Christ is the head of the church still.
Amen.
He's still the head. Now notice this. You got proof of a changed life. You got preaching by John the Baptist here. And then listen, that's always good having a Baptist preach. But a third material he's got is production. And when I say production, I don't mean Hollywood. I mean this. Verse 10. And now also is the axe laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Negative, 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 negative. What did he just say? Listen to that. Cast into the fire. Hellfire and damnation preaching.
Yeah.
See, God begins to work because if you read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 through 19, he refers to people as trees.
Yeah.
Now the axe is laid to the root. What are we doing? We're going out there and cutting some wood, man. You know why soul winning's work? He likens it to cutting down trees. You ever cut down a tree before?
Yeah.
Without a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough bitch. Whack! You just do that, seem like all day long on one tree sometimes. And listen, God's axe for doing that thing is in Jeremiah 51, verse 20, where Satan is prophesied in line with the king of Babylon, and God uses Satan to be the axe to cut down the trees. That's the typology behind that. Listen to this. It hadn't occurred to you yet, but when God begins to work, the devil begins to work, is what I'm getting at. When your tree falls, it's going to fall whichever way it leans, and you will fall. Everybody does. There's going to come a time, if you live long enough, they're going to tell somebody, call hospice for them. Call hospice. You know what that means? Hospice guy told me last year, he said, well, this don't mean your son's going to die, but he was too late, they'd already told me. I said, friend, appreciate it. But don't lie to me.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie to me. I'd rather die with my eyes wide open and know the truth than be lulled to sleep and slip off into eternity by somebody that lied to me that I wasn't going.
Yeah.
Be it preacher, prophet, priest, king, whatever the title of the guy is. But God begins to work on these trees and begins to take them down. And usually, not always, but usually, most of the time, people get saved after the devil's hit them real big.
Yeah.
You ever read the book of Job?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wondered what happened there, why God would do that? You know why he does that? He can.
Yeah.
And it's the best method for showing you in the Bible why good people suffered. And if God let that happen to Job, you and I are not near the person Job was in Job chapter 1, much less chapter 42. How much more is God going to turn that thing loose on us? It's going to rock our foundation, take us completely down, humiliate, humble us, and then we can only look one direction when that happens. And the biggest dummy of them all is the devil, because he's the one got used by God at that point in time. You see, I mean, God uses the devil. You don't think he's not on the chain for a reason, do you? He's like an attack dog. People make some dumb statements. I had a guy tell me one time, that song I do, somebody Satan being thrown in the fire. This guy told me one time, he said, I hope God lets me throw him in the fire. Boy, he's out of church right now. You know why? The devil ain't afraid of you.
Right.
You ever seen these stupid things these people send out on email and Facebook and Instagram? It says, the devil trembles when you're on your knees. No, he don't. He gets down and prays with you.
Yeah.
He is literally not afraid of us.
Listen to what you say, bro.
Yeah. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of 10 like you joining together and doing it.
Right.
He's only afraid when the Lord shows up.
Right.
Now listen to this. God begins to work. God begins to move. And that's when you see production. And I'm not talking about an assembly line of Christians. I'm talking about fruit coming out of a tree. Because he keeps mentioning these trees and things like that. And you'll read where our Lord mentions in John chapter 15 about fruit.
Yeah.
I'm the vine, ye are the branches. What comes out of them branches?
Fruit.
Says it grapes? You wish. Love, joy, peace, blah, 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 blah. All of them things. And you know who does that? The branch is plugged into the vine or all of it would be dead.
Amen.
Now watch this. You got production. God begins to move on people. They begin to produce fruit. What does that do? It helps the church. We need every one of you.
Amen.
Let me talk to the home audience. We need you. Not because we can't survive without you, but we can't survive without each other.
Amen.
Your fruit feeds me, my fruit feeds you. So I don't like you. You need to really work on that.
Right. Amen.
Because it's a thing called love that you need to get plugged into.
Amen.
Right.
Forget like. I don't like most people, but I love them all.
Yeah.
Usually people I don't like, God makes them better anyway when I start praying for them. You ever had an enemy you pray for get right with God? Keep praying, they will. It's a crazy thing, because then you look back over it and find out that in Job, he didn't get right till he prayed for his friends. That very verse says that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends.
Right.
So I don't talk to your friends like Job. Let something bad happen. They'll come out of the woodwork to tell you why you're in sin.
Yeah, I
mean. You know what God will do? He'll humble you before he humbles them. So I'm already down. You're not down far enough. God will take care of it.
Yep.
You're in the master's hands. He gets it right. But then the church is built on production, but it's also built on prophecy. And when I say prophecy, I'm not talking about something on the National Enquirer or something like that. He says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto, there's that word, repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you, oh, get this, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is where it's going to get good. He's going to baptize you with what?
Holy Ghost. Fire.
Now, if I was a Pentecostal, I'd read that and say, the fiery tongues in Acts chapter 2, and God's going to set you on fire. With the Holy Ghost. And some of you go, Abba Shiva, who stole my Honda, look at my bow tie and all this other stuff, start all that.
Yeah.
Somebody rolling the floor and all this.
Yeah.
There's only one type of person who gets baptized in fire. That means in a lake full of fire where they go all the way in it. You know who that is? That bunch of vipers that showed up to hear this. That's who he's talking to. John's telling them, you die lost, you can get baptized with fire. This is Holy Ghost and fire is a choice. You get one or you get the other. And listen to this. He even told you who's going to give that to you. Remember that thing about God won't put anybody in hell? Somebody puts them there. Who puts them there? They do. They make a choice right here. This is the key verse of the book of Matthew, because it's written to Jews. You got the last Old Testament prophet sitting here telling them that he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you in fire. Take your pick. And the reason I know this is because with fire, that phrase in modern Bible is omitted in the New American Standard, English Standard Version, Holman Christian Standard, New King James, and NIV. And you know why they say that? Well, now, with in italics, really? Well, when Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, he quotes the italics over there, and over here they're not italics. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, this Bible's right, and the rest of these jokers are wrong, because they have an agenda.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how you can figure it out. Since I've been saved, there's been 25 Bible translations come out. That's almost one a year. But every time it comes out, they already got the committee on the next one that's going to come out next. In just my lifetime, you think you'd get one of them right out of 25? You can tell us what's wrong, but you can't tell us what's right. Now who's the legalist? Oh, you generation of vipers who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. What's the wrath to come? Fire. Fire. Listen to this. When you examine the Bible itself, I want to show you something. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We're going to close with this. We're going to go eat. And I hope you'll be happy. If not, come back and we'll try to make you happy tonight. How about that? 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to show you the nuttiest thing I've ever seen in the Bible and where it's at. God in His wisdom knew that if we had the manuscripts they used to come up with the King James Bible, we would worship those manuscripts and never read this book. There was something that happened in the 1800s in London called the Great Fire of London. And no, Hitler didn't start it before he was born. That thing wiped out the building that contained all their work in it. There are no surviving notes, manuscripts, nothing of what they did from 1604 to 1611. Nothing survived. Well, that comes from the original Greek. By the way, that didn't survive either because they didn't have that then, and we sure don't have it now.
Right.
But what we do have is this. Look at this verse. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. When they translated 1 John for your King James Bible, there were no Greek manuscripts that had the last half of that verse in it that has been found anywhere at that time. They were vilified for this verse. But you know what God did? Oh, y'all going to trust your instincts and your common sense? I'll be over here. And he's way back here just going, help yourself. And they come out with the Revised Version. Then they come out with the American Standard Version. Then they come out with the new RSV and the RSV. And then they come out with the NASB. And then they come out with the NIV and the New King James and all this. But then some kooky guy that wears a dress and calls himself father and dresses like mother said, I have the original Bible. But he lied.
Amen.
You know why I know he lied? Because that Vaticanus manuscript he has, there's nothing past Hebrews 9. Nothing. They don't. I mean, just when they say it's not in the oldest and best manuscripts, they lie because everything past Hebrews 9 is not in the oldest manuscript.
Right.
Never mind Mark 16. Think about what I just told you. Hebrews 10 to Revelation is not in the oldest manuscript. But it is in Tischendorf's that he found there in amongst trash can. And the only reading in the world that backs up that is Sinaiticus manuscript that contains 3,000 errors just in the Gospels.
Yep.
Where did they figure this out at? Let me tell you. Look at the verse. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Is that right? Is that a true statement? You ever have a dollar bill and flip it over and notice the other side's different? Any bill, any coin, if they're legal, they're different. If you have a dollar with George Washington on both sides, you've got a counterfeit. Look at this back side of the dollar. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So comparing this with Matthew chapter 3, we find out something. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And there's the statement right there. And they put this in here under the preservation of God and had no backup for it whatsoever. Just they believed God wanted it there. And without fail, it shows up later in a manuscript older than this book. In a place you'd never expect to find it.
Yeah.
Now, how about that? Now, listen. I trust my Bible.
Amen.
There's been 4 editions of this Bible. We have the 1769 edition, not revision, of the King James Bible. These morons that say we have revisions, they don't understand what a revision and an edition is.
Right.
A revision is you change 30% or more of the text so you can make money off the Bible now, too, with your copyright.
Yeah.
An edition is, oh, that was printed wrong, we fixed the printing. Me and Brother Kirsten at the lady's house, she's scared to death. I said, what you scared for? Well, that verse you preached on Sunday, my grace is sufficient for thee, strength made perfect in weakness, and so forth. If you got a red letter Bible, that's some red letters. You know her Bible didn't have that in it? Yeah. And he said to me, blank. Then it goes down.
Yeah.
And she's scared to death. She's thinking God's grace ain't sufficient. She's thinking God might even be done with her and all this other stuff. And I laughed. She said, why are you laughing? I said, it's a misprint. They didn't load the red ink cartridge and they switched them over to make this run. I said, where'd you buy this Bible? It was on discount. I bet it was. Brother Steve Phillips called me one day and said, they got these Cambridge Bibles here on discount. He said, they misprinted 2 words in it and they're not there. Same way, so this was red with the black missing. He said, since it comes with a piece of paper in it, tell you where at, you want me to get me and you both one? I said, Cambridge Bible, hook us up. When it got there, I took the piece of paper, took a little fine red pen, wrote them 2 words in. It's just like this Bible right here. Except I'm older now and can't see it, so it don't matter what it says. But the whole thing is this. God put production in your life. And he's definitely put prophecy in your life because in the whole scheme of things, somebody's coming. What John the Baptist got to have. And you know what? He came. He lived a sinless life, died for your sins. The choice is 1 John 2:23. And he's coming back again to get those that's in the first part of that verse. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. No, he's not coming to get them at all. They'll never know he showed up. Are you paying attention yet? But he that hath the Father hath the Son also, or he that hath the Son hath the Father also. Those folks that are born again, that have been sealed into the day of redemption, have the Holy Ghost inside them now, he won't miss not one of them.
Right.
I'm not even trying to scare you into getting saved. I'm just telling you what you build the church on. Our church is built on prophecy as one of the materials, and we don't even need no prophets because they've already said it.
Amen.
This bunch that says they're prophets,
well,
I got an idea for you. Let's quiz them on what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we live in the internet age. Let's just go back 2 decades and look at one day. One day. Most of them have taken it down. The ones that left it up forgot it was there, but it's still there. So what day is that? September 9th, 2001. So, but what's that going to do, man? Love, peace, and prosperity were the messages of the day in almost every church. Judgment came 2 days later.
Yeah.
Nobody called it.
Right.
Do you realize 3 days after that, people were flooding to churches wanting help, scared the Lord was coming, all over America.
Yeah.
It was so bad that the congressmen got together on the steps of the Capitol building and sang Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Young Nancy Pelosi right in the midst of them. Isn't that something? And you know what the scary part is? It didn't last a month.
Yeah.
Now we got one of those pool starts up there in Detroit in the House of Representatives. We've had one be president. We didn't learn a thing.
Yep.
All you preachers preach judgment and prophesy bad things. We don't like that. We don't. You don't make us feel good. My job is not to make you feel good.
Amen.
My job is to tell you what God told me and put it out there. Your job, listen to this, is either it's for you or it's not for you. And if it's not for you, pray the next one's for you. I preach uplifting messages sometimes. People don't believe this, but I didn't. You know what's uplifting? The Lord's coming back. You know why that's uplifting? I don't like what's going on now, but I didn't like it 20 years ago either. He'll say, I don't know how we're going to survive the Biden presidency. I survived 2 terms under Clinton.
Yeah.
He's far worse than Obama and Biden will ever be. So how's that? Well, if you say something about him, you die.
Amen.
You have more holes in your head than a bowling ball, they call it suicide and throw you in the ground, you're done.
Yeah.
And your wife don't even get the insurance money. They find a loophole. But listen to me. God uses prophecy in our age, in our life, to know He's coming and He's going to set everything straight.
Amen.
You know how detailed that thing's going to be? If anybody owes a Christian money they borrowed, they're going to have to pay it back in the millennium. Did He not say He had turned that whole thing around and pay everything back and so forth like that? I believe it. I also believe this. With one iota of what's going on, and your eyes being open to the Scriptures of the Word of God, let me ask you a question. Do you read this book? Right here in 1 John, people get so messed up because they keep looking for the wrong thing. You know why they can't see prophecy of the church now? They're not looking for it. They don't think it's going to happen. Here's what God says. God says this. Look over in 1 John 2, verse 16. They missed this now. Verse 15, 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world are 3 things. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the very 3 things that Eve was tempted with. In the next chapter of Matthew, your Lord's tempted with the exact same 3 things. He walked out of it unscathed, but he quoted Scripture. He didn't let the devil tell him what he believed and tell the devil what he believed. He didn't take his literature and hand him a tract. He quoted Scripture. You know our example is? Him. How do you handle the devil today? You know what I remind him of? Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth the words of this prophecy. You know what's going to happen to him in Revelation 20? He's gone.
Amen.
The last time, right out in verse 10 out there, bye-bye devil, because he's gone forever.
Amen.
But he's not gone yet. But when he reminds me of my past, I like to remind him of that verse right there. You know why? We win at the end. We really do.
Amen.
But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and so forth, he says, they don't have their part in heaven. Are you one of them people? You know what them people hate? Preaching, proof, production, and prophecy. They hate it, all 4 things. They're called a generation of vipers for a reason. You know why that is? Because they're not sheep, they're snakes.
Amen.
They're cold to the touch, and they'll bite you first chance they get. What kind are you? We see this thing, the church that God builds. Are you part of these materials, or are you part of somebody else's shop over there, workshop? I've heard people say, I'm God's junkyard dog. You're not God's junkyard dog. God don't have any. He has sheep.
Yeah.
He has sheep dogs.
Yeah.
You know what a sheep dog does? Everything the master says, he corrals the sheep. What your pastor is? He's a sheep. So who's that thing barking running around? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know what he's doing? Keeping you between the lines. Did you know sheep were dumb animals?
Yeah.
You know how dumb they are? They're so dumb they love their owners.
Yeah.
I was at Stephen Umberger's, Pastor Stephen Umberger's. We pulled over the side of the road over there in Virginia, in Whiffle, Virginia. He said, I got to check on this sheep. He walked up there and that thing walked up, I promise you, and kneeled down right in front of us. He said, Brother Little, don't you see this? I said, I saw it. He said, no, to see this. His feet were all mangled looking. I said, why are they like that? He said, he had something happen to him. I'm trying to fix him. He stuck his hand out. That thing started licking his hand like a puppy. And he pulled out something out of his pocket, began to do something with those feet and stuff, and he bowed his head. Are you getting this yet?
Amen.
You know what most people do when they get hurt? Well, I'm quitting church, and I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Nice time to quit.
That's right.
We're still building. He hadn't come to get his building yet.
Right.
And he's still working on you. Don't look for a way out. Look for a way in. Pastor, you come.